Kansas City.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
And the first pitch of the road trip is driven into deep left field and gone. That probably won't win the game tonight, but that's exactly what the Royals needed after yesterday.
Now Bobby Witt Jr. Next pitch is swung on and belted down the left field line, and that one's a goner. Home run, Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals lead it 2-0.
Oh, deep left field. That might be the farthest of the three, and the Royals come out blasting against Zach Davies. They have three home runs and have a 3-0 lead, which is one out in the first inning.
And a fly ball to right, hit pretty well. Back of the warning track, back of the wall, 4-3. Now one for Walker the other way. His 11th of the year, 20th RBI. It's a one-run ball game.
Witt's running. The pitch is outside, and the throw comes in on a bounce. And Witt is going to race Ellis to third, and he's going to beat Davies. And now he's going to head for home. He is safe.
What's not to like about that? Coming out and creating damage and just one at-bat right after the other, even some loud outs. Been looking for that. There's some of that confidence for our players, especially our offense. They've been wearing a lot of the brunt of the season, not starting off well. And starting to take some really good at-bats and start getting into that philosophy of next man up. So it's the right kind of theory, and you know, just like to got to see both sides, and when we do, that's going to be where you just start seeing more of it multiply. But right now, there's one component that's missing each night that's allowing us to do what we need to do.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez. It is Tuesday, May 24, 2022. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by former Royals reliever Jamie Bluma in studio. He joins us every Tuesday. He'll talk about the Royals. Oh, in a surprise, they lost, so we'll get his thoughts on that. And then also we'll talk to Jarrett Sutton, our basketball insider, about the NBA playoffs and also the upcoming NBA draft and whatever the hell else we want to talk to Jarrett Sutton about. We'll also have some post-game from what happened last night in Arizona. The Royals lose the first game of that series, 9-5. And they are in a tailspin. They started off really well last night, scoring four runs in the top of the first inning. And you actually saw three home runs in the inning. It was very exciting. Whit Merrifield and Bobby Witt Jr. and Hunter Dozier all going deep in the first inning. And then you're thinking, okay, well, 4-0 lead, Zach Greinke on the mound. This is a recipe for success, but Greinke ended up getting bombed. He gave up three in the first, and then two in the third, and two in the fourth. He ends up going 3 2/3 innings, five hits, seven runs, four walks, five strikeouts. Horrible outing for Zach Greinke. Now, all of a sudden on the season, one of the bright spots that people have been excited about for the Royals, Zach Greinke has a 4.53 ERA, which ain't good. But most of that was from last night, giving up seven earned runs in 3 2/3 innings. And then that was really it. The Royals did not threaten. The Royals did not score again after scoring four in the first and one in the second. And so they lose 9-5. The bright spots offensively, Merrifield had two hits. Bobby Witt Jr. had two hits. Carlos Santana is on absolute fire right now. He's 3-for-5. He's hitting 163. White hot. Can't even touch him. And so hopefully the only thing you can hope for here is that he gets hot enough and somehow gets his average above 200, and another team says, oh, we'd like to have him. And then the Royals trade him for a charcuterie board or a fruit basket or something, anything in return for someone taking, to be honest, no one's going to take on a salary, so the Royals will probably have to pay some of that too to let him go. But he went 3-for-5 last night, and so we're all feeling good about that right now. But the Royals end up losing 9-5. Man, 14-27 right now for the Royals on the season. It is ugly. And we're checking. I'm looking right now at my calculations. And they, according to my numbers, are not still in it. So, Nate, you declared them in it last week. Where are we at now?
I mean, they're not as in it as they were last week. That's for
right.
sure.
So, but they still are?
I mean, they're in something.
They're 11 and a half games out now.
That doesn't feel like in it.
Mm-mm. No. Well, let's take a look at the wild card standings. Maybe that's a little... Nope. Well, yeah, 7.5. But there are a few teams ahead of them,
like all of them.
Every team in the American League. So they'd have to literally leapfrog everyone. So tied with Detroit, man. Worse than Baltimore. That's a tough one. As Marco said, that's a tough. But he's tough.
Well,
not
that was
to...
tough nut to swallow.
Right. Well, it is.
Renee, I did not ask him to play that
it
one.
It is. Now, she said she's fine with it if I ask him to play it. She just doesn't like when you ask him to play it.
That makes sense.
Listen.
It irritates her.
She's not as innocent as I probably made her out to be.
Oh, I know. We after our night at P&L, I figured that out pretty quick. Hey, what's going on here?
No, yesterday we watched Eddie Murphy's Raw on
tremendous.
Yeah, because the Royals are up 5-0. What could go wrong?
Later on in the show, Marco will repeat word for word some of his best bits from Eddie Murphy Raw, which I saw at the movie theater very uncomfortably with Steve St. John Senior and my mom at Blue Ridge East. Blue Ridge East?
Not an AMC now, is it?
I think it was Blue Ridge East. Blue Ridge East no longer exists. Blue Ridge no longer exists because Blue Ridge West was in the basement of Blue Ridge Mall across from the arcade, and Blue Ridge East was off on its own right off I-70. And that's where, man, it was exciting times. I remember, the aforementioned Big Tom and I would go out there I remember one time we were very excited. We went out there to see Boomerang. Oh, speaking of Eddie Murphy, that's a good one. You ever see that?
I haven't seen Boomerang, but I know
Boomerang.
About it. Yeah.
Oh, you know about it?
I've seen the cover.
Yeah. You've seen the cover.
It's like a rom-com, right?
Yeah, but it's good. It's funny. I mean,
oh well, yeah, it's Eddie Murphy.
There's some great, yes. There's some clips that we've played throughout the history of the show that come from Boomerang. So that was. I would imagine that Eddie Murphy Raw was more entertaining than the Royals last night. I mean, after you watch the first inning, what do you want to watch the rest of that for?
Probably a lot of profanity associated with both.
Yeah. No, hey, if somebody hung in there and watched that last night, more power to them. Because I think the numbers are not great. But, yeah, I mean, a day later, it's just no better, you know? And it's been, boy, it's sad to listen to Mike Matheny almost. I mean, those comments there, it almost sounded like he was talking about a win. Well, that's what we really needed. You know, get out there. And I mean, it's just, you know, it's like he's talking about a little league team that he's just happy that they tried hard and, you know, scored some runs. This is. Are they really the worst team in the American League? I mean, the numbers say they are, but is this true? Are they really the worst team in the? Are they really worse than Baltimore? Are they really worse? See, I'm surprised Detroit's struggling as well, but Detroit's had a bunch of injuries. And they're also not as good as they were supposed to be. But are they really? Is this real? Do you believe it? Is this bad? Is bad baseball, and they're going to turn things around?
It doesn't seem like to me they should be the worst team in the American League.
Well, why do you say that? Why?
I don't know because I just don't feel like that's the worst roster in Major League in the American League. I mean. I expect Whit Merrifield to be better than a 214 hitter. Expect Salvador Perez to be better than what he's been so far this year. I expect Nicky Lopez to be better than he's been this year. But maybe it is. I mean, maybe I don't study the other rosters in the American League enough to know.
I mean, the run differential is minus 60.
Yeah.
And that's 12 runs worse than the next team, and that's Detroit. It's minus 48. So that kind of backs it up right there.
Yeah. I mean, statistically, they're just about as bad as it gets offensively and defensively, starting pitching and bullpen. So.
You know, they've and you know, Greinke had been better than, or at least as good or better than we hoped. But, you know, he came back to earth last night. I think Keller's been pitching over his head. I don't think he's going to keep this up. I think things will even out, right? Because we talk about, well, you mentioned some of the guys that have not been as good. And offensively, they haven't been as good. But they've wasted some good, you know, for all the bitching about the pitching. Like that, Marco? That's a good rhyme there. They've wasted some good starts from Zach Greinke and Brad Keller. And even like, you know, the last couple of starts from Brady Singer have been, you know, pretty good. I don't think Keller's going to keep this up. Greinke, I mean, I don't know. He got bombed last night. He's been pretty good overall, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe this is just what they are. It's just who they are.
Certainly, what are we, 41 games into the season now?
You feel like Mike Matheny gets a free pass? I don't hear a lot of outrage about Matheny.
Yeah. I mean...
But clearly, the guy that everyone points the finger at and has pointed the finger at is Cal Eldred. I didn't even when the Royals' offense was struggling. You never heard anything about Terry Bradshaw. I think half the Royals fans don't even know who the hell Terry Bradshaw was.
Right.
They thought he was the former Steelers quarterback. Like, why do you want to fire him? He's funny on Fox. Like, whose job saved? It's not him. You know. But the Royals hit like. Former quarterback Terry Bradshaw was their hitting coach.
Hey, yeah. Get out of there, hit the ball.
Why don't you guys just hit a home run? And so, I mean, everyone's like, Cal Eldred, he's got to go.
Yeah.
I just don't hear a lot of outrage about Mike Matheny.
You want some Matheny outrage?
Well,
I mean, I don't want. I mean, I'm just telling you, I don't hear it a lot.
So when they inevitably,
because when I hear people like, when are they going to get rid of Cal Eldred?
When they inevitably get rid of Cal Eldred, then
you think that's going
to
happen?
It becomes then everybody will turn their attention to Mike Matheny, or Dayton Moore. You know, usually, like, it moves up, you know?
No, I hear more criticism from Dayton Moore than I do with Mike Matheny.
Yeah, I do, too.
The only thing I ever hear about Matheny is once in a while I get an email or a tweet, and someone will say, man, I got a friend that lives in St. Louis, and he told me when the Royals hire Matheny, you'll see. And that's it.
So I guess my question would be, like, what's Matheny doing wrong?
Or what's anyone doing wrong?
And I mean, obviously, one of them is, you know, you could say, well, he's batting O'Hearn and
yeah,
Santana.
Yeah. Yes.
So
very
what would their
very mixed messages. Yeah. Well, we got to win. Hey, we're trying to win. We got to win. And then you roll out people in the lineup in places that are just absolutely bizarre. So yeah, you just there. You just answer your question. What does he do wrong? He puts out some bizarre lineups. And some and like for forever just would Kyle Isbell just sat and was rotting on the bench. And I think he's shown enough with his bat lately. Like, why wasn't he in the lineup? Going back to what I would say every time O'Hearn was in the lineup hitting cleanup or just hitting it all. And I wasn't even campaigning for Vinny Pascotino to come up and say, why don't those at bats go to Kyle Isbell? Why don't those at bats go to a younger player with upside instead of him just rotting on the bench? Yes, that's an indictment of Mike Matheny right there. Well done. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you asked what's he doing there. Okay. Ding.
But I wonder, I mean, like when we talked with JJ, maybe he's just defending Mike Matheny, or maybe it's this organizational philosophy where they want their manager to run O'Hearn and Santana out there and see if those guys will get going.
I can't, like, okay, Santana. Santana's making a lot of money. They'd like to flip Santana. They'd love to trade him.
Yeah.
They'd love to go down the Jorge Soler path, get hot for a couple of weeks, and maybe a veteran team. But that, I think that ship sailed last year. That was the time to do that. I don't think anyone's looking for Carlos Santana. But that argument doesn't work for Ryan O'Hearn. That none of this. Why on earth would anyone dig their heels and like, hey, you gotta keep putting O'Hearn in the lineup? Well, like that stretch where they kept it was like it was bizarre, right? It was bizarre.
Yeah,
there was no defense for it. So yeah, of course. So then if he is responsible for putting out the lineup, what are you doing that for? When you had better options, not in Triple A, you had better options on your bench. So you ask the question, what has he done wrong with it? Boom.
So,
bada bing.
Is that fireable? I mean, like, should they?
Well, no. I'm just. You know. But who's? That's the problem here. Who's accountable? You tell me.
Right.
Again, well, I'll tell you, it wasn't all Terry Bradshaw. That wasn't the fix all. Finally, got Terry Bradshaw out of the building. Now we'll start winning some games.
Yeah.
This is bigger than Mike Matheny. This is bigger than Terry Bradshaw. Bigger than Cal Eldred too, right now.
Yeah,
this is a failure at every level of the organization right now that has led to a 14-27 record. So what do you do? Just sit back and let it happen? Like, oh yeah, whatever. Nate just wants to sit back and let it happen. We're not going to do that.
Like a stretch zone. You sit back and they stretch, they do it for you.
Take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Mainly just a game started off, the ball seemed like it was flying, a lot of home runs being hit, and then had some close pitches called balls, and then kind of got scared to throw strikes a little bit, I think is what happened. And, I mean, really only made one mistake in the zone, that was the home run, and then walked too many guys.
That was Zach Greinke talking about his start yesterday. Not good. Given a 4-run lead before he even took the mound. and unable to make it work and unable to hold the lead. He ends up giving up seven earned runs in his starting, in his start yesterday. So, and now his ERA is above 4.5. So, now you have the Royals once again with the worst record in the American League. And where do you go from here? They clearly do not think that Nick Prado or Vinny Pasquantino, either of those players, they do not believe they are ready. They are going to continue to give Carlos Santana at bats. It looks like he's come out of his funk. He still has an average of around 160, but he had three hits yesterday. But that's, you know, he's not the reason why they're losing. Right now the pitching is struggling. And so we'll see another young starter, John Heasley. He will go on the mound to take on Zach Gallen. Heasley comes into the game 0-2 with a 4.32 ERA. And so here's and here's the situation that they're in now, and they've been in the situation, really. I don't know that many people even care that they're losing right now. I feel like, we're a quarter of the way through the season already, and apathy has already set in. Like, I don't feel like, I mean, clearly I get irritated about these things, but that's just what I do. I don't know why. I don't know why I even let it bother me. Like, it seems like you're almost like, you've been in mode for a little while. You're in soccer mode. It seems like when I bring things, it seems like you just don't, like you're already done.
I don't know, man. I mean,
but be honest, you.
I was watching the game last night. I don't like seeing them be in last place. I don't like seeing them lose. I'm disappointed. I thought they were going to be better this year. I thought they'd be threatening 500. I will say that the work stoppage got things off on the wrong foot for me as a baseball fan already this year.
But if they were in first place, you wouldn't be talking about the work stoppage anymore.
No, I'm just saying it got off on the wrong foot. You know, so it already kind of got you to start paying attention to other things and thinking about other things and maybe, you know, ready to walk away. I will say this, like if the NBA game had been worth a damn last night, I probably would have stayed on that all night and not watched as much of the Royals game. But the NBA game was a blowout too, so I stayed on the Royals game and suffered through that. I don't know. I guess maybe I should be more outraged. I don't know. I mean, hey,
you can't make yourself be outraged. Either you are or you aren't.
Yeah.
Did you just? I mean, you say you had higher expectations.
Just disappointed so far. And I don't know. I mean, the thing that's relentless about baseball too is when you're bad, it's every night. I mean, you know, there was a 15-year period where I lived it like every night because I was with the team every day and had to. I mean, that's what I was talking to Jacob Peterson the other day about what it's like covering a losing baseball team. Because, you know, Sporting's gotten off to a bad start this year. They've hopefully starting to turn it around a little bit. We'll see. They've had a couple good results here lately. They're showing some fight anyway. But I was telling him, like, you know, we're not used to having bad seasons at Sporting, but if you have a bad season at Sporting, you will lose like 15 games. Maybe if it's a really bad, you lose 20. But you know, in a bad baseball season, you lose 100. You lose 100 times. And if you're on the team, even if you're like the equipment guy, you know, or the traveling secretary or whoever, if you're around the team, like it just is a relentless beatdown. I heard Ryan say on the broadcast last night that one of the players for the for the for for the Diamondbacks. He was talking, he was kind of giving the story of the player and talk about his, this, you know, kid learned a lot from his dad growing up, and his dad said there's two types of baseball players. Those who are humble and those who are about to be humble. Because it's so much failure in the game. And it's true, but the thing about baseball, too, is that it's every night. Every night. And so, like, when you're winning, it's awesome. Because, like, hey, we won again. All right. You know, and everybody's excited. But when you're bad, I mean, this team could quite possibly lose 100 times.
Well, that's where they're headed.
And I'll be honest with you, like, I'm glad I'm not stuck watching that every night. I just am. It's hard, you know. And I'm not gonna let it like kill my mood. I kind of like Marco's approach. I watch Eddie Murphy Raw tonight. You know, I mean, why subject yourself to that if you don't have to?
Well, someone has to watch it on the show.
I know. I was watching it last night, but right. I'm guessing you're not watching every pitch of all 162 games.
No, every pitch.
It's just,
no,
you know.
I admittedly, I watch it more than you guys because I have other interests involved.
Yeah, you got your and
rotisserie. No, I'm not a degenerate gambler. But I am an avid. That's my hobby. Besides, you know, watching my kids in their, you know. Like, well, we had softball last night.
Yep.
And the Panthers won 12-11.
Nice.
It was
nice work, Panthers.
It was a nail biter. Hey, my nails. Chilly night. Steve St. John Sr. had to tap out because it was too cold for him. Steve St. John, never thought I'd see the day. Man, oh, man. I had to call him and ask him about that. You warm up, honey?
It was pretty chilly last night.
Yeah, it was great. That's the kind of weather I thrive in.
Right.
I'm out there in a running suit. I'm feeling good. I'm making multiple trips to the concession stand for people. I'm trying to, you know, I'm having fun. It feels great. I don't need to be out there in 95 degree heat, sweating my you-know-what off. I know I will be. I've already had, you know. I don't need it. That's a very cool, very comfortable. Good softball weather. Yeah. I'm watching a close game.
Mr. St. John's at a different stage in his life.
No,
he wouldn't be out
to
there.
What stage is that? I'm gonna get on the phone and talk to him about that.
He's relaxing.
But the point is, my biggest hobby besides that is rotisserie baseball.
Yep.
And I got an American League team, the American League Bada Bings and the National League Bada Bings. But I also use that as a vehicle to where I force myself. You know, when I have my auction weekends and everything else, and I study the minor leagues because that's what we have minor league systems. Super dork league. All of us are nerds, baseball nerds. I trust me. I get it. There's no reason a 49-year-old man should be studying, you know, high A and double A prospects. And I was like, it's ridiculous, okay? But I like it. I enjoy it. It enhances my enjoyment of baseball.
And here he is having the time of his life.
Right. And so it'll lead me, and I'll watch. And I'll watch when I shouldn't. I'll watch other games when I shouldn't. Like, what's wrong with me? So, trust me, I'm not proud of it.
I will say this. I can't get myself to sit down and watch another major league team that doesn't involve the Royals at this point.
Super duper dork out. I love it.
I'll go to a game. Like, if I'm in another town, I can go to the stadium and hang out at the ballpark.
I can't wait when other prospects get called up. Like, I can't wait to watch this Contreras kid for the Pittsburgh Pirates that they got from the Yankees. This kid's spinning, baby. And yeah, I picked him up. I beat everyone to the punch. But the point is, if I didn't have that, I don't know how I would be able to fabricate any in enthusiasm for this. So I have that tool.
Yeah.
That helps me.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy it. And I enjoy reading about baseball. I enjoy the numbers. I enjoy, you know, spending time with the statistics. I feel like it keeps my mind sharp, even though I'm very dull as a butter knife, but still, you know. So yeah, it helps me. It helps keep me interested. I can't imagine if I didn't have that going with me, you know, or going for me. I'd be enthusiastic about watching baseball, but you know, so be it. Now I'm counting down the days on my calendar to Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, I'll be excited when he comes up.
I look forward to this so much.
There's guys that I'm looking forward to Brady Singer's next start.
Sure. Oh yeah. Absolutely. So. Oh, but I get it. You're not a rotisserie baseball geek.
Never had a rotisserie team. Not in my entire life. Isn't that kind of wild?
I don't know. I don't think a lot of people do. I mean, it's not like fantasy football.
But rotisserie was the first fantasy sport, right? Because that's why it's called rotisserie, because they, a bunch of New York beat writers met at some place, rotisserie chicken place.
I've been in one of these leagues like...
To do their draft.
30 years.
Yeah.
It's not a great look for me, but I don't care. I love it.
No, I'm glad you do, because you keep better track of all these things than I do.
I have team logos.
Hey, that's great.
Look at him. Will you look at this guy? He doesn't. You have no idea how far I go with this.
Who's the drumstick on your team?
The drumstick?
Yeah, the drumstick.
What are you talking about?
Talking about a rotisserie chicken. Who's the drumstick on your team?
I was struggling to follow that joke, too.
I don't know.
Had to spell that one out for me.
Well, let's put it this way. The AL Bada Bing's minor league system is led by Vinny Pasquantino. So I do want
to... That seems perfect.
Sure it is.
And his Italian breakfast?
I'm not loving that nickname. I feel like that's forced.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. Do you like that?
We used to go to breakfast at Cascone's down, used to be in the River Market, right?
Yeah.
Get some Italian steak and eggs back in the day for breakfast.
Every Saturday.
Is that an Italian breakfast?
Every Saturday, Steve St. John Sr. would meet Danny and Augie Ontiveros down for breakfast there. And would drag me along sometimes, only with the promise that he would buy me something, because I was a little brat. Well, so what? He got me there, and guess what?
Then he got you something too.
My grandma, and grandpa bought me something. Oh,
and that's mijo. A happy memory now.
What do you want, mijo? Let's go walk around, mijo.
Your abuela says you need a break, mijo.
¿Qué quieres? No. My grandma would never make me break.
Nope.
You son of a... Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez and intern Marissa, which we still need to come up with a nickname for her. That'll have to happen organically over the next couple of weeks, but we'll figure out what that is. Let's play a game called... Does Marissa's dad actually listen to the show?
Uh-oh.
Marissa, come on in here real quick. Because we think he listens to the show, but when she made her debut on the show, he said he wasn't listening, and then he's listening later. And so we can't tell him ahead of time, hey, your daughter's going to be on the show, because then, of course, he'll listen. And so then we have to find out now. So here we've moved the time of day that you're on. You could sit down and make a few comments. And so what was the excuse that your dad, and it was a good excuse because he's a working man, right? And so he did hear about you eating a breakfast burrito at the remote yesterday. But you made your debut. And you said that he did not hear it because why? Why didn't he hear you on the show yesterday?
He said he was on a call.
Okay, and tell everyone what your dad does.
My dad is an electrical engineer.
Okay.
At Burns and Mac.
All right.
He's always pretty busy.
Okay, so there's a real reason there.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
And you believe him, okay?
Kind of.
That was a hell of a hesitation there.
Uh-oh.
My God.
I don't know.
Does he claim to listen to the show? Has he listened to the show in the past?
I was talking to my mom about it, and she said that when he's on his way to work, mm-hmm. like his drive to work, he usually listens to it.
All right.
He's probably not on his way to work at this hour, is he?
I don't know. I don't live there anymore.
Right.
And so I was honestly, when I lived there, I was never up that early.
Right. So do you feel like, well, is there a possibility he's listening right now? Because, again, this is another chance.
What time is it?
It is 6:44 in the a.m., and we're on 8:10 and 38 the spot. So there's two chances for him to catch you.
There's a maybe.
Okay.
Maybe he might be. I think he was, or they started playing it when he was getting ready yesterday.
All right.
So maybe he's getting ready right now.
You were saving your dad right now in case he's listening.
Dad, I love you.
Wow.
And thank you for everything you do for me.
Unbelievable. What an unbelievable message. What about your mom? There's no chance she's listening, right?
There's no way she's listening.
But what if she was? What would
she's
you say
great,
to her?
Too. I would say
thanks. Well, I'm glad you included her in that.
Yeah, she's great, too. But I would say thanks because what you told me yesterday
about
her.
It was it was kind of one of those things where, she, had kind of reached out at the birthday party and made it known that you were interested in interning at some point. I said, well, sure.
Yeah, because Tommy couldn't do that, obviously.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you're looking for someone to represent you, go with someone else. All right? Because I don't think Big Tom is, if you're looking for an agent at some point, he may offer, but he did follow up.
He did follow
up, but
yeah.
No, because, we had already, when we had her in to interview her for the internship.
Yep.
He followed up 3 days after you had already interviewed and asked if I was going to talk to you. So he's at some point he'll figure out that you're actually an intern, and then he'll claim, he'll take credit.
I hooked her up with an internship.
So I got to take care of.
You want to know what he told me last night?
Oh, boy.
I saw him last night, and he was like, so what do you even do while you're there? Are you just like the coffee girl?
Wow.
I was like, oh.
There you go. See, that's why, And what do you do? You're learning right now.
I am learning.
Under Marco Marquez. And so we feel, just going to let you know, in the past, our former producer, Jake, did not always create a learning environment for the interns. Was that,
it was
how
not
would you
a,
describe?
It was not a welcoming environment. It was not a... Here's what you do. You sit over there and you watch
he
for
may
a
not
month.
Actually,
and after that, you might learn some things.
He may not actually speak to you for the first month of your internship.
Well, Marco's been great.
So the
very welcoming.
And the good
Marco's
thing,
the coffee girl.
Well, exactly. And the good thing about Marco is he would start as an intern, and then he worked his way up. So he has somewhat recently gone down the path that you're attempting to travel.
Yeah.
And so there's more relatability, right?
Yeah, I know.
He's
been great. He showed me where the coffee was this morning. He showed me where the break room was.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Bathrooms. He gave me.
Hey, that's the first thing. I know
where the bathroom is. That's a big deal. Ask Nate. You go somewhere, you got to know where the bathroom is.
I know exactly.
Gotta,
that's the first thing I size up anytime I go into a place. Where's the bathroom?
But he's showing you how to run the TV
part of
this.
What facilities are we looking
at?
Yeah,
he showed me how to do the cameras. He's like, this is camera one, two. It's pretty simple.
Because I'll just be honest with you, because you're getting credit hours for this.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the paperwork through UMKC.
Yeah, I got to have you fill that out today.
We'll fill out that paperwork. Trust me. And we are harsh, harsh graders on them. And so, in a month, to see if you're paying attention, you're going to have to run the show by yourself, and Marco's going to leave. And everything, all of our advertiser dollars, everything is going to be dependent on you running this show. And if not, then we're going to have big problems. I just made that all up. But still, does that sound like something you could do?
I mean, maybe not in a month.
Well,
But
this internship been lasting all year.
It's it's an accelerated program we're attempting to implement.
I've never
right
been
here.
Really good at accelerated programs.
We're gonna take a swing.
Yes.
We're swinging for the fences.
You haven't been good yet.
With intern Marissa. And we'll find out if Marissa's dad actually listens to the show here in the next commercial break. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. This is one of the songs that Richie St. John will be performing at Purple Jam coming up on Sunday at Knuckleheads, which is an all-day tribute to the music of Prince and many. Tyson Leslie, a terrific local musician, puts this on, this Prince tribute on, and it's many of the best local musicians get together. And they perform Prince songs. I mean, everything in his catalog. I mean, it's hours and hours down at Knuckleheads. I think tickets are like $25. I already bought my tickets the other day. And so the Accidental Moguls and Richie St. John would be performing. I know that he's going to do 1999, Take Me With You, which I love very much, and also Cream.
Ooh.
But if you think about the catalog of Prince songs.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you, I have to be honest with you, you know, I love Prince, right?
Yep.
And so I didn't go the first 3 years. Because I told Susan, she goes, "Don't you want to go to this?" I said, "I'll go when Richie plays." Because at some point, because that's if you asked him, he would say his number one musical influence is Prince, and so he got invited to play this year, and so now I'm going. Love it.
That's a great venue.
Play some Prince. You know, so it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I think Sumo's and all. If there's like a really good local musician that you like a lot that's in a band you like, they're probably gonna be there. I think it's like at least I saw over 50 local musicians all come together, young, old. I mean, it's awesome.
And what's the time frame like? How this? Like
I think
all
it's
day.
All day. I think, yeah. Man, I don't know.
All night long, like Lionel Richie.
I'm begging Richie to give me some type of timeline, but whatever, I'll be there. I do want to mention that the Chiefs' preseason schedule, I know you set your calendar around that. That is official now. Saturday, August 13th, the Chiefs will be at the Chicago Bears. Then Saturday, August 20th, they will host Washington. And then Thursday, August 25th, they will host Green Bay. So I don't know. August 13th, if you're jonesing for some football, it'd be worst things to do to make a little road trip up to Chi-Town, the Windy City, up to Chicago. I mean, preseason football is awful, but I mean, do something
fun. I should remember this. Are they for sure building a new stadium for the Bears?
I don't know. Are they?
I don't know. Because I was just thinking maybe that could be, if they are, your last chance to see a game at Soldier Field.
Soldier Field? You ever been there?
No, I'm not. No, I've never been inside. I've been by it on the outside, but I've never actually gone to a game there. No, that'd be pretty cool. It's kind of weird now though, because it looks like a spaceship landed inside of it.
I would never think of going on. I barely even think of going to Arrowhead for preseason football, but I like going to Chicago. And if you're,
yeah,
we'll see these damn kids, all these young players get the first crack at it, and go up there, have a couple delicious meals. Go see the Chiefs.
Where's the game against Green Bay?
Here.
Oh. Yeah.
There's only three preseason games now, of course. Mm-hmm. And so there's only one road game this year, and it's that first one at Chicago. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.